Barnes & Noble gets a bid.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The nation's biggest bookstore chain may have a new owner soon. Barnes & Noble has an offer on the table from Liberty Media. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live now to talk about it. Hi, Mitchell.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, tell us about this offer.
Well, this is a friendly offer. It's worth a bit more than $1 billion, and it would leave in charge Barnes & Noble's legendary founder, that's Leonard Riggio. Barnes & Noble has 2,000 stores nationwide, and it's outlived its number two rival, which was Borders. They went belly up earlier this year. In fact, Barnes & Noble's been looking for a buyer since last summer, and up till now it didn't have any takers.
And Borders went belly up, as you say, in no small part thanks to the rise of e-books like the Kindle. Why would Liberty be interested in a big brick-and-mortar chain like Barnes & Noble?
Well, the key is probably the not brick-and-mortar part, which is the Nook. That's Barnes & Noble's electronic book reader, and it's actually doing very well. Amazon's Kindle's still ahead. Apple's iPad is also coming up fast behind. But ebook sales are just booming. They're up 400% just in the last 2 years. Now, where this fits in maybe for Liberty is that it owns the Home Shopping Network plus e-commerce sites like Expedia, Gifts.com. So maybe there's a synergy here. Barnes & Noble brings in shoppers to its stores for books, and then they can look at cool travel stuff and gifts. And then the Nook delivers Liberty's ads and media along with books, in this case, paperless books.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Thanks, Mitchell.
You're welcome.
Well, the federal government has announced new rules for health insurance companies as part of the Obama health care law. Starting September 1st, companies will have to get approval if they want to raise premiums by more than 10%. The insurers say that'll lead them to drop coverage in some areas, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
One of the big promises of health care reform is that everyone in the U.S. can get coverage, regardless of pre-existing conditions. Ethan Rome is with Healthcare for America Now. He says insurers anticipate paying for all those pre-existing conditions.
And they've been jacking up rates at double-digit levels.
Starting this fall, if insurance companies want double-digit increases, they'll need permission to do it on individual or small group plans. Peter Pitts is with the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest.
Certain insurance companies will decide not to do business in certain states and areas where they simply can't get the rates they need to stay in business.
Christopher Bowe is a healthcare analyst with Informa.
My guess is that they'll be flexible and look for ways to change their business model to stay profitable and become more efficient.
He says insurers have shown flexibility. The health insurance industry is on its way to a third year of record profits. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning. The Japanese power company TEPCO announced a $15 billion loss today following the disaster at its nuclear plant in Japan. The company's president resigned on the news. Meanwhile, the stock price of LinkedIn jumped more than 100% yesterday after the social network's IPO. On Wall Street, the Dow tacked on 45 points to close at 12,605.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day. On the web at Manta.com.
Well, the NBA playoffs continue tomorrow after last night's tight matchup between Dallas and Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City won, tying up the series to one game apiece so far. But it's not a tie at all when you look at the ages of the star players on each team. One team is young, the other is, well, let's just say more experienced and more expensive. Larry Kuhn blogs about the NBA for ESPN.com, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Morning.
Give us a sense of the range of salaries we're talking about when you think about the lowest to the highest.
The minimum salary in the NBA is about $500,000. That's for a rookie on a minimum salary contract. The average salary is around $6 million. The highest salaries are well over $20 million. Kobe Bryant, I think, is the highest salary in the league right now, and he's at about $24
million. And is it typically the older players that are making those high salaries and the younger ones that are making the low salaries?
Yeah, you have to build up over several years to get a salary that's going to be that high. high.
Let's just look at two of the teams that are playing right now in the playoffs, the Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Mavs are the oldest team in the NBA. The Thunder are the youngest team in the playoffs. What's the salary difference for the stars on those teams?
It's pretty huge. When you have older players, especially older superstars, you're paying a lot of money for them. The Oklahoma City Thunder are one of the younger teams in the league. They're right at about the salary cap. They're being well managed. And as their players start to get older, they're going to have to start spending a lot of money in order to keep those guys.
But both of these teams have made it to the playoffs. Are you getting what you pay for here? What's the difference in performance?
At this point, not much, since they're playing each other. We'll see who wins out and makes the finals. But you only get to keep young guys cheaply for so long. There's a controlled salary structure for high draft picks in their first few years in the league. After that, they start to make a lot of money.
So how do the team managers figure out who to pick? I mean, if you're looking at a LeBron James, a young guy, or a Dirk Nowitzki, who is an older guy, how do you decide where to spend your money?
You obviously want the young guys who are going to become great players. There's not a lot of those guys to go around. You have to get lucky and get the right pick in the draft in the right year in order to land a guy like that.
Who are you rooting for in this series right now?
I like everybody. I'm paid right now to be impartial.
Larry Kuhn, who writes about the NBA for ESPN.com, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And finally to New York City, where a famous landmark is slated to be closed down due to budget cuts. I'm not talking about the Statue of Liberty or the Empire State Building. I'm talking about the Tribeca Firehouse that was used in the 1980s classic film Ghostbusters. It's one of 20 fire companies expected to be closed down to save the city $55 million. So if you do have a ghost problem, I guess you'll just have to call Mayor Bloomberg directly. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media. There's a town in Ireland called Moneygall. It's pretty far off beaten path. The president's going to visit next week, though, and things might change.
You know, it will be all, the gold will be left out, it will be all money, 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 money.
I'm Kai Ruzdahl, putting Moneygall on the map, and the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street, all of that jazz, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.